Schools across the state are dealing with a dramatic increase in the number of kids with speech delays. It's especially prominent among our youngest students, who were just toddlers when the COVID-19 pandemic sent the world into lockdown. Here and Now, senior political reporter Zach Schultz tells us what's behind the delays and whether schools have the resources to help the students speak up.
The children in this early Head Start classroom look and sound like typical 2 to 3 year olds. But they were born during the COVID-19 pandemic, and chances are some of them may be at risk of developing a speech delay.
So we have actually seen a very big uprising in speech impairments and language impairments. And
Nicole Spooner is the director of comprehensive services at Next Door Foundation, a Head Start program in Milwaukee. She says young children were severely impacted by the lockdowns.
They were facing isolation, stress with their families, trauma, things of that nature. And so they're coming in now with really some challenging behaviors, speech delays, things of that nature. I think we're up about 10% right now in children who have speech delays diagnosed.
Across the state, it's the same story.
I've definitely seen an increase in the number of referrals. I would say it's not abnormal for me to get at least one speech referral per day.
Max Long is the director of student services at the Platteville School District. He has 4 full-time speech language pathologists on staff, and their caseloads are maxed out.
We often go back to the drawing board quite a bit with our schedules when we get new students and our caseloads to try to move things around and make it work.
Once a student is diagnosed with a speech delay, federal and state law mandates the district provide the services they need, whether they have the funding or not.
There's just too many kids for me to fit in.
Megan Bolkin has been at Platteville for 12 years and says the issue isn't just that kids can't articulate. Some kids struggle to use speech to interact at all.
There are definitely kids who will just hand you stuff and expect that you know what they want to do with it and not say anything to you.
Well, you know, early language skills are one of the best predictors of academic, social, vocational outcomes.
Rebecca Elper is a UW assistant professor and a researcher at the Wiseman Center, studying early language and literacy intervention.
We're really just kind of trying to get a sense for where the child's language levels are.
She says the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted a lot of existing health disparities along the lines of race, income, and access to services. And young children were no different.
It's very hard to focus on early language intervention when you're experiencing housing insecurity, food insecurity, all of those sorts of things.
Elper's team is studying how best to support caregivers of young children, since language development starts at birth.
For do they have this word? So like if they say nana for banana, we would still count it on this measure. What would be the most supportive long-term is to really help support early identification and early intervention, because the earlier we can intervene, the better the long-term prognoses are.
I have one for everybody. Peyton, would you like to put a vest on?
Back at Next Door in Milwaukee, they use a system called Lena to help identify kids with possible speech delays.
These vests are going to record the amount of interactions that we're having with each other. It's going to tell us how often we talk to each other, because talking is very important.
It's like a superhero this time.
Yes.
Shakita Caldwell is the lead teacher in this classroom and convinces the kids to wear vests that contain a small device that monitors and counts interactions between kids and teachers.
But guess what it's going to do? It's going to help you to talk more, and it's going to help your teachers talk to you more. And we're going to build lots of vocabulary together.
They are actually recording the frequency of the interactions between the teachers and the children.
Tonya Hameister is the director of education services at Next Door. She says Lena is a coaching program. When they download the data from the recorder, it creates a chart to show the number of times a student and teacher talk to each other. That lets the teachers know which students need more attention.
So if I have that child who scored lower, who wasn't having many interactions, then I will plan to, I'm going to have a one-on-one with this child. Maybe I'm going to read more books with him. I want him to name. I'm going to ask him, what does he see in the book, so I can get those words out of him.
Hameister says Lena started as a research program, but now Next Door has adopted it for all early Head Start classrooms.
For our children, we saw an increase, especially in the children that were not as verbal, not as expressive. We saw an increase, a pretty significant increase, in the amount of interactions.
Hemeister says Nextdoor is fortunate enough to have a lot of community support, but she worries about schools that are dealing with a budget crunch and a surge in speech referrals.
It's a challenge. It is a huge challenge. We know a lot of our systems are resource depleted and they're tired.
In the last state budget, Governor Tony Evers proposed using the budget surplus to put an extra $1 billion into special education funding. That would have brought the state's contribution towards special education costs to 60%, a dramatic jump from the current 31%. Republicans in the legislature allotted an extra $107 million statewide over the next 2 years, just a 2% increase. In Platteville, Max Long says the increase isn't even a real increase.
They did not adjust for inflation. When you look at those numbers, it's not necessarily that we're getting slightly more. We may be getting slightly less.
Megan Bolkin says burnout in her industry is a real concern. And while they're doing okay right now, next February, they start screenings for the 4K students, where the next wave of speech delays is waiting to be identified.
The thing that's making me a little overwhelmed is like the number, they keep coming. Those referrals keep coming. As those kids are evaluated and if they qualify, getting them added onto my schedule, that's when it's going to start to be, okay, now I feel like I'm drowning. Now what are we going to do?
Reporting from Platteville, I'm Zach Schultz for Here and Now.
For more on this and other issues facing Wisconsin, visit our website at pbswisconsin.org and then click on the news tab.